Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Yo, welcome back to our Beats Around the Bush season, in which my esteemed colleague Mark Blankenship and I, Sarah D. Bunting, talk about the beats that were around roughly in the George H.W. Bush White House era. Here to talk much more about that and about our topic today, a salt and pepper six pack, it's Mark. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Sarah. Your mic does indeed sound nice.
Thank you. It's been checked 15 times. We'll see how it goes in the edit. So, salt and pepper, very excited to talk about this. Very excited to hear from you about the journey that brought you to this episode idea.
Well, quite simply, salt and pepper are so good. I feel that when we even were originally conceiving of this hip-hop from the 80s, early 90s season, I was always going to lobby that we talk about more than one of their songs. Mm-hmm. And the way that this season has now shaken out, I'm so delighted that we can talk about basically all of their songs, because I just think that Salt and Pepper's place in hip-hop and popular music history is so exciting to this day to consider. Their music is so engaging to me. I find their music endlessly entertaining, very frequently quite intellectually stimulating. I even saw Salt and Pepper earlier this year. We're recording this in 2022, and I saw them in this year of our Lord on the mixtape tour with En Vogue, Rick Astley, and New Kids on the Block, and they still know how to put on a show. And in the course of this episode, we can certainly talk about any of their songs that we would like, but I felt like it would be a good idea to choose a six-pack of songs that focus our discussion. And so in chronological order of release, those songs are My Mic Sounds Nice from the album Hot, Cool, and Vicious. Actually, that one, I will say, Sarah, you quite wisely brought to the table. Then we will be moving on to three songs from the Black's Magic album, Expression, Let's Talk About Sex, and Do You Want Me? And then we will move on to two songs from the Very Necessary album, What a Man, and Delicious Deep Cut, Somebody's Getting on My Nerves. So, listeners who have been with us for a long time might remember way back in the Pleistocene era when we did an episode that covered both I'll Take Your Man by Salt and Pepper and If That's Your Boyfriend, He Wasn't Last Night by Michelle Indeghiacello. So this is not the first time that Salt and Pepper and Spinderella have appeared, but this is our first truly deep dive. And Sarah, just to kick things off, I have to say, Salt and Pepper have, to my ear and heart, an almost unmatched ability to seem like they are having fun no matter what they are rapping about. And I love that about them.
Yeah, I agree. And there's the whole being greater than the sum of the parts thing happening with them that I'm interested to talk about with you. I know that you said in chronological order you did the list, but I kind of want to talk about My Mic Sounds Nice a little bit later in the process, because supports my grand unifying theory of Salt and Pepper, which is probably bullshit.
That's great. So let's start then with the song Expression, which I think is pretty significant both for them and in the overall story of hip hop. Because Expression is a platinum single. It sold 1 million copies, and it was written and produced solely by Cheryl Salt James. So this is a major moment in the history of hip-hop, because it was, I believe, the first platinum rap song to be written and produced by a woman alone, with no one else pitching in. And I just think that's really awesome. And one thing that Salt and Pepper has always done is just say up front, we're women, and therefore we are awesome. We are women, ergo, we are the best. They had songs like Ain't Nothing But a She Thing that came out. They've always been very upbeat in their sense of empowerment, and their songs have always had this concept in them that, for instance, if you want to get with me, you got to get with my friends. you know, Spice Girl said it that way, but you know what I mean. There's always just been this real strength and positivity and confidence in the fact that as women, they're amazing. And that to me is really great because it's so easy to celebrate along with them. Expression is to me a pretty good, it epitomizes that pretty well. So let's hear a clip.
And there ain't nobody like my body. Yes, I'm somebody. No, I'm sorry, I'ma rock this Mardi Gras until the party ends. Friends, yes, I'm blessed and I know who I am. I express myself on every gym. I'm not a man, but I'm in command. Hot damn, I got an all-girl band. And I wear the gear, yeah, I wanna wear too. I don't care, dear. Go ahead and stare. Ooh, afraid to be you, living in fear.
They're having so much fun. I love it.
Yes. And I will say just up front, I didn't necessarily clip the hooks on these songs throughout this episode for the songs that I clipped, because to me, the things that I think are more interesting to talk about are the way that they express themselves in the verses. And
I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah. So tell me more. Tell me why that resonates with you.
Well, I think that this is about where my, like, it's neither grand nor unifying, but a sort of baby steps toward a theory of Salt and Pepper came together in my listening, because I listened to this like third or fourth in my songbook preparing for this episode. And
yes,
there's something about their writing and their finished product that's like all the best shit is in the verses. So I'm glad that you yes. mentioned that about the chorus, because the hooks are like very sort of not eye on the SEO, but they're like they were kind of clickbaity before clickbait had been invented, which I respect that. But what's exciting to me about Salt and Pepper is almost never that hooky chorus or that title that's like absolutely going to get the thing played and talked about and argued about.
Yes.
It's always in the verse. And there is an almost defiantly do-it-yourself, first drafty quality to a lot of their shit. Like sometimes their songs are just like, there's one super dense, amazing verse, and then it's this kind of B plus or worse chorus repeated a lot of times, and then
yes.
it slowly fades out, and you're like, there's not actually a lot there, but it's like, but it still works for them. Like that is their brand is a little weird to me, but like, this is a good place actually to hear my mic sounds nice, if you don't mind.
I mean, drop it.
Here's a clip.
Babylon MC. You babble on my microphone about what you wish but could never be. So please don't tell me how you're gonna rock. Don't brag about the things that you ain't got. Don't feed me lies, cause now I'm full. My cow just died. I don't need your bull. Yo, turn my mic up a little bit. 1, 2, 1, 2. Aye, thanks. My mic sound nice, check 1. My mic sound nice, check 2. My mic sound nice, check 3. Right about now, as you can see, in the place to be. We're not talking about geometry.
I mean, they're having so
we're not talking about geometry.
Or biology. Like, some of these rhymes are really, like, basic first thought shit. And the fact is that their basic first thought shit usually rules. So I think they don't tend to like go back and kind of tighten things up or do more takes or be like, we need another verse. Like they, you know, these things sort of come out and they're like, yeah, that's good. And it is.
Yeah.
But sometimes it stops short of greatness, and their ability to be zeitgeisty without necessarily being great is itself kind of great. I don't know if that makes any sense.
It absolutely does. Oh my God. Yes. Because listening to anything from the Hot, Cool, and Vicious album, which is what My Mic Sounds Nice is on, and it's also what Push It is on, mm-hmm. I have always felt like I was at a party where they did one take with beer in hand.
Yes.
And then they were like, now I'm done. It's like what we were saying the other day about Q-Tip just sort of wanders through. It's like he says one thing and he leaves. And yeah, especially on those albums that came before Very Necessary, because I do think there's a major shift when we get to that album.
Oh, for sure.
In these first albums, it really is the feeling of like, these are the coolest girls in your high school. They're like always having so much fun together. They make you feel cooler because you're around them. And yeah, maybe they're not deep brooding poets, but you don't care because you're like, I just want to be at the party that you're at. And
yeah,
that quality, that confidence and that self-possession is very attractive. And you're right. Like, also, you can hear the jagged intakes of breath on so many of these verses.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay.
Yeah. But it was like, you know, between bong hits. Okay, fine.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's interesting that if I had been picking the 5-pack or the 6-pack or whatever, I would have picked all the early stuff because I feel like the more produced it got, it didn't necessarily change the basic nature of the thing, of their zeitgeist. Mm. It just made it more obvious that they are like first draft, like perfect or imperfect. This is the egg. Make with it what you will.
I'm spoiling it by saying it this early, but one of the songs that we're talking about later features a line, "You couldn't hump me if my first name was Cootie Cat." And that doesn't make sense.
No,
but okay. Perfect example.
It really doesn't. Anyway, let's continue on our journey because I'm always interested to hear like either why these songs have been chosen by you, were also like how, I mean, we're on two different roads from which we can see each other with Salt and Peppa. So that's always a fun kind of episode for me.
Yes. Okay. So to me, the Black's Magic album is really where I became very aware of Salt and Peppa because those videos from that album were just always on television.
Yes.
Like you literally could not turn on MTV, even if it was like Alternative Nation. They were going to be like, but also, here's Do You Want Me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. And what I like about Black's Magic is I think it's a really great example of how you can make issue-based music that isn't exhausting.
Yep, yep, yep.
And like Expression is about what it sounds like. Express yourself. You're a lady. That's awesome. It's a sort of a it's a call to come party in the name of being a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get to a song like Do You Want Me, which is a song that I feel also has a very interesting chart history because of the way that the chart was being compiled at the time. This song peaked at a lowly number 21, but it was only a glitch in the way that the information was assembled because really that song is a top 10 hit. It definitely peaked in the top 10 on both radio and sales, but at different times. So it makes it seem like the song wasn't as big of a hit as it was. It was just a hit for a long time and therefore didn't chart as high. Anyway.
Right.
What I love, Sarah, about the song Do You Want Me is that it is a song about letting men know that this body and this booty are not for sale. They're not for you. They are for me. And it manages to make not letting a man get it in sound so fun and flirty. And I just can't think of very many songs that are like, you don't get to touch it, but you're going to be having a great time when I tell you why.
That's really well put.
Thank you. So with that, here's a clip.
Please understand the way I feel. I must have trust or there's no deal. My emotions ain't to be played with or given free. I appreciate greatly the way you tolerated me. Sometimes I do act flaky. Wouldn't blame you if you hate me. You put up with my butt when I wouldn't give it up. Yeah, I know that really sucks, but if you wait a while, I'll make it up.
Do you really want it, baby? Let me know, 'cause if you really like me, I'll get
it. Sarah, I believe it was Seamus Haney who first said, "You put up with my butt when I would not give it up."
the ever widening gyre of my butt.
But if you wait a while, I'll make it up. Like, that line is so stupid, but so perfect. And I just can never get enough of it.
I just love that they're not afraid to like treat with difficult rhymes, like things that end in MP or RST. And they just are from Queens and they don't give a shit. Like they don't try to polish up their delivery because that's their voice. And I think that's great. I love this song. I feel like the messaging is a little too apologetic.
Oh, yeah.
Given that the guy, the unreliable narrator guy, is Herbie Lovebug, who claims to have discovered both them and Kitten Play. So there's that weird like meta level on which they're right. apologizing to the man who discovered them, whatever.
Ooh, fair.
So that's like, that's weird. And I don't know, like, whatever relationship history, I don't think there was one, but it just strikes me as a little like, and we talk about this a lot and it will come up again a bunch of times, I think, that because of when these songs came out and the Sex Kills atmosphere that we were all unfortunately dwelling in at that time, that messaging songs about any choices around being sexually active, whether it was abstinence or safe sex or whatever, like it, you have to forgive certain things that, like, okay, you wouldn't make this song like this now. And I don't know if right. she would be this apologetic about it now, or this sort of like, yeah, I understand that it's, you know, it's a bummer to have to wait for me to be ready and to give consent. Like, it doesn't quite land the same, but this was a very different time when this came out.
That is really well said. Very good read on that. Not something I had never thought about it that way, but that's obviously a very correct interpretation of the song. To me, knowing that I probably now agree with you, I do want to say that to me, this song perfectly mingles with For Show Shot by Def Jeff that we talked yeah. about in the last episode, in yeah. the sense that this is another of those songs that has unapologetic sexuality without menace.
Yeah.
I just like songs that are really horny but also not threatening. Like, yeah, I am horny and I'm gonna dance, but, you know, it doesn't feel like that there's any danger in it. And maybe that's just me projecting a bunch of shit onto songs, but like, it's certainly not, these are not the only songs in the world that do that, but I'm just drawn to this particular type of sex positivity, which is like, yeah, I'm having a lot of fun being sexy and horny and young and spraying myself with a street hydrant or whatever.
Yeah. Well, and also we're just having fun, period. Like we were saying in the last episode, like, oh, here are some musicians of the late 80s and early 90s who actually like going to work and doing what they do yeah. and not everything is a crisis. So
exactly. Although you do make a good point that there is perhaps it is falsely empowering to tell someone that, you know, it sucks to not be able to hit it.
Yeah.
It's like it doesn't have to, you're right. There is. It is something that if it were created today, the song would not be the same. And that's yeah. just where we are.
But I believe there is literally a track on the same album called I've Got AIDS. So, I think you always have to have it in the perspective of, you know, that sex was a the non-threatening aspect of it that you're talking about is like not necessarily on offer like 95% of the time.
That's right. And you know, it's interesting, that track I've Got AIDS is a PSA on the Very Necessary album 3 years later, which just tells you how long this era lasted yeah. of sex equals death.
Yeah.
Well, and that is a perfect segue to our next song, Let's Talk About Sex, which peaked at number 13. That was, at this point, their highest peaking single. Push It on the Hot 100 had reached number 19. Let's Talk About Sex is a song that I don't know how to feel about it, but it's so burned into my memory from this period that I felt we needed to hear a clip.
I agree.
Lawyers, doctors, no one was too great for her to get with or even mess with. The press, she says, was next on her list. And believe me, you, it's as good as true. There ain't a man alive that she couldn't get next to. She had it all in the bag. So she should have been glad. But she was mad and sad and feeling bad. Thinking about the things that she never had. No love, just sex. Followed next with a check and a note. That last night was so...
Yeah, I don't love this anymore.
Yeah, so tell me, how did you feel about it then?
At the time, as a, you know, properly raised tool of a patriarchy in Bush and Clinton's America, I felt like they were saying something important. And I felt like this song being popular sort of helped us ladies be like, you know, sex without love is just empty. And what's the point? Because again, given the viral atmosphere at the time, like this was something that a lot of us had to kind of tell ourselves in order to go without at a question mark. And also there's really a lot of a lot of slut shaming in the culture, and it was worse back then. With that said, this is slut shaming, this verse. And it's, I mean, as much as I love that line, how many guys, you know, make love? Like, I mean, yeah, but like, how many girls do you know make love? Like making love, barf, but also, you know, this is not the sex positivity without being threatening. This is like you're endangering yourself and you're not in touch with your real emotions and, you know, doing it for money is bad. And it's like, well, no, doing it for money is just doing it for money. Sex work is work. If she's not a sex worker, this is way too judgy. I just don't think it's a good look, and it's a little off-brand for them, I would say, maybe.
Well, and it's fascinating that on the next album they had the song None of Your Business, which includes the lyric, if she wanna be a freak and sell it on the weekend, it's none of your business.
Yeah.
Like, and interestingly, Salt has since said that she doesn't want to perform None of Your Business anymore because she doesn't think it is good to sell it on the weekend. Mm. So, you know, up and down we go.
Yeah, but, I mean, and I think there are also aspects of this, like just, you know, living as a black woman 30 years ago that you and I can't access and can't speak to, that
right,
this song is not for us on every track of the sound, which is, you know, like I think it's an excellent marriage of form and function. I think that the peppiness is really wonderful. I think that once again, they're very zeitgeisty, but then when you get into the actual track, the substance is somewhat less than you might remember or expect. And I think this is sort of like a legendary song that's merely good in retrospect.
Oh my gosh. Great. That is how I feel about Push It as well, by the way.
Yep.
Push It to me is like 9.5 minutes of that one hot riff. And then occasionally, salt, 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 and Peppa's here. Like,
yeah,
just,
that one's, yeah. But then they're calling people hoes. Like,
I'm just like, why is that the definitive song for them from that era? It's mostly just a track with occasional distorted vocals.
Yeah.
I didn't get to choose these things, though. And, like, obviously, Push It is an incredibly important song in that it was really the first song by female rappers to become a major across-the-board hit. But still.
Yeah.
So to me, Let's Talk About Sex. Yeah, at the time, it did feel very revolutionary, especially to me because I was only 12, that they were being so blunt to talk about these things. And the explicit message of the song is, on the most superficial level, talking about sex is not scary. We should talk about it. But then you're right. Once you get deeper into what they're actually saying, once the conversation has begun, it is very much rooted in its era in a way that is probably not useful to us anymore.
Yes. perfectly said.
That said, when I was in college, and I remember this as clear as day, I was walking home from the Cox Hall food court back to my dorm. This is my freshman year.
Cox Hall.
Oh, and everybody loved to say, Cox, when you go to Cox, do you spit or swallow?
Oh. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Burp. But I remember so clearly walking through the part of campus that I needed to go through to get to my dorm. And there were these three women rapping this song to each other in a circle. So I came up and I interrupted them and I said, yo, Pep, I don't think they're going to play this on the radio. And why not? Everybody should be having sex. Everybody should be making love. Come on. How many guys you know making love? And you could watch on their faces that they went through so many emotions of, who the fuck are you to be interrupting us? Oh my God, is this happening? Yes! So by the time I got to the very end, we were all part of a unit. And I just remember feeling like amazing. Like I had interrupted them quite rudely, but then by the end, we were all on the same team. And I was so glad that I had done it.
I mean, yeah, but this is like the beauty of Salt-N-Pepa, that like, even if the song, once you sort of turn it over and you look at how the tapestry is knotted on the back, you're like, oh, there's a lot of chewing gum back here. Like they make conversation. They create conversation. There is like a community that they are making with what yes. they're making. And even though this song that was like, anyone can, like everyone will know the first few bars. My dad will know it. My nephew will know it. Like that title is so smart because that is going to stay in the culture and have sustain.
Yes.
And then you listen to it again and you're like, there's really kind of only the one verse and it's just kind of socially conservative and like churchy about this woman's choices. And it's not what you expect. You expect it to be like, we need to be saying the word condom and we need to like have these conversations with the lights on. It's not that.
No, it isn't.
It's like, don't do it for money. You could get killed. Like, where are we right now? And at the same time, it's still a banger. Like, aurally, like melodically, it's good. And the flow is good. It's just like, yeah, content wise, you're like,
Well, then that leads us now to the very necessary album, which came out in 93 and just was night and day for them in terms of their cultural reach. To put it in perspective, the Black's Magic album sold 1 million copies.
Mm-hmm.
Very Necessary sold 5 million copies.
Yeah.
And Shoop and What a Man were the two massive hits from this album. Now, I did not clip Shoop because I would say, Sarah, that Shoop has never disappeared from the culture. It is always with us.
Yep.
In fact, I know teenagers, at current high school students, who know every word to Shoop.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's pretty cool. Like, that is clearly the Salt-N-Pepa song that has survived and will outlive us all. There was that period of time where Ellen DeGeneres was constantly rapping it in various locations.
Oh, that's a shame.
But then Shoop is also just like a really good song. And it really is that. Now, you want to talk about a song that's just, I'm having fun being horny.
Yeah.
Shoop is that song.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get some fries with the shake shake booby? If looks could kill, you would be an Uzi or a shotgun. Bang, what's up with that thing? I gotta know, how does it hang? Again, like you've been saying, first draft quality.
Mm-hmm.
But delightful. And I think that might be one of the reasons Shoop hangs on, is because that song is so dumb. But like, who doesn't want to be dumb in that way?
Well, I think this is the thing, whether it's grand or not, this is the unifying theory that like the first idea is enough. And then sometimes what they do to like back it up, you're like, huh, I wouldn't have gone that direction with it. Or that hasn't aged well. But like the idea, like the kernel comes first. And then they just run with it and then they're done with it and they don't overwork it. And there's something to be said for that, too, that they're like, smarter, not harder. Bye. Like, OK, respect.
Exactly. Now, that is why, however, and it actually ended up being perfectly in sync with what we've talked about today. Happy accident. That is why I chose a clip from What a Man, because I feel that this, of all their hits, is their masterpiece. And I think it is because En Vogue adds so much to this song, and the complexity of En Vogue's harmonies on top of what Salt-N-Pepa is doing gives this song a depth that none of their other songs have, and that is one of the reasons I love it so much. Here is a clip.
Yes, my man says he loves me. Never says he loves me not. Mine, I rush me good and touch me in the right spot. See other guys that I've had, they try to play all like Matt had. But every time they tried, I said, that's not it. But not this man, he's got the right potion. Baby, rub it down and make it smooth like lotion. Yeah, the ritual, highway to heaven. From 7 to 7, he's got me open like 7-Eleven. And yes, it's me that he's always choosing. With him, I'm never losing. And he knows that my name is not Susan. He always has heavy conversation over mine, which means a lot to me, because good men are hard to find.
Oh my God. Okay. First of all, shout out to Spinderella, who is not even with the group anymore, but she had some really good verses. And this is, I think, her best verse.
Mm-hmm.
The flow on this is amazing. The little bits of En Vogue that pop up underneath the verses I find to be amazing. And I have performed this song, Sarah, at so many karaoke nights. I've performed it at multiple office parties. I can remember very clearly that the older employees at TDF, where I used to work, the Theater Development Fund, one of them came up to me later and said, oh, I see you now. And it was like, yeah, because I can throw down with every lyric of this and I do not need to look at the screen. So there is so much for me, just lifelong joy wrapped up in this song. But again, it's the marriage of En Vogue, Salt-N-Pepa, the amazing beat, the great flow, the lyrics, and just the whole lunacy of it all too. Like just saying, you so crazy, I think I want to have your baby. Fine. Great. If that's how you want to do it, go right ahead. So to me, Sarah, again, A-plus work from Salt-N-Pepa and Spinderella.
I have to agree, aurally. Here again, I think the lyric is a little bit, like, they have this weird sort of conservative streak, like sort of sociosexually conservative streak that you do see here, not in the part that you clipped, but that they're like, they're kind of thanking the guy for not embarrassing them by cheating openly.
Mm.
Like, there are a number of ways to interpret that lyric, but for me and a couple of music critics, it was like, so as long as he's not doing it out in the open, you're fine with it. And then there's that down low lyric that kind of maybe implies that it's okay if you cheat on her with a dude, but not with other women and not in public. Like, it's, I mean, it can be a little bit like settling again with the lyric, but I think that this is also like that it's not a first drafty quality exactly, but they just sort of like say what they really think and what they really feel and what their actual concerns are. And they don't sort of go back and buff that up. It just stays in whatever song, which is, you know, maybe not the most artistically polished, but is who they are and what makes them appealing. This is an amazing hook. En Vogue is perfectly matched to this material. These lyrics are like so inviting and the flow is so good. It's fascinating to me that there is this still that kernel of like, but that adds to the essential Salt-N-Pepa-city of it.
Yeah.
And doesn't like,
I think that's a really good way of putting it. Like, they just decided that they're going to go ahead and have their array of opinions,
mm-hmm.
and it isn't focus grouped to try to make everyone happy. Like, yeah, this is just how I feel about it. Okay, great.
Yeah, that it is a little like, oh, you know, I mean, these are like your friends and your friends have like really strong feelings about things that because you're friends, this is something sort of charming and fond. It creates fond feeling and you're not like, oh, for
right.
fuck's sake, like enough with the banging on about how much you hate raisins. We fucking get it. Like, this is just a thing. among friends that it's like, oh, well, you know, Sarah and the raisins, like, we're not going to Oatmeal Cookies R Us today because Sarah's going to ruin it. Like, you know, so I think I finally have figured out, like, I had a lot of sort of notes about their lyrics and the delivery sometimes, but it was like, even though these notes seem like they're negatives, they're not, because they're so on brand for this group that somehow they're positives, even though they might read as negatives or like, you should change this. Like, no, don't change anything.
Yeah, I feel like I haven't really grasped until this conversation that one of the reasons I like them so much is that they are so specific as people in their music.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are not making songs that are meant to be generalized washes of sort of Hallmark card feelings or what have you. These are very specific takes on what it means to have a good man, on what it means to be talking openly about sex. And yeah, like, I actually am appreciating more now that you're right. I have always found certain lines in What a Man to be, let's say, very different from my set of hopes and dreams for romance.
Yes.
But
sure.
You know what? Good for Salt and Pepper that they didn't think about me when they wrote this song. You know what I mean? They're like, I don't care what anybody else thinks. This is how I see it. And just because they were able to do that in a really fun, catchy way doesn't make it any less artistically interesting. And that specificity of vision is perhaps easy to overlook when the song was such a massive hit that you actually can hear it in the mall now.
Right.
But it's still there.
Yeah. Well, and that specificity is what I think makes it so universal, because there is a confidence, but also a relatability. Like, you might not like this particular opinion or lifestyle choice by this friend, but you're still friends. And this is like friendly, welcoming, but also confident and brassy hip hop. And I think,
right, and it's like,
why it
the
works
role of,
is that it doesn't always work, weirdly.
Right. But like, it's not the role of your friendships to have everyone agree with everything all the time.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
That brings me now to our final clip. This is just a song that I needed to at least briefly mention on the show.
I'm so glad you did.
Did you know somebody's getting on my nerves before this episode?
I don't think I'd heard it in 25 years, but I did know it. And it was like putting on a pair of vintage boots and being like, oh, yeah, I forgot I broke these in. Sweet.
Totally.
So good.
This was never a single. It's just there on the Very Necessary album. But I owned this album and I love this song. I picked my favorite section of the song because Peppa's flow here is insane.
Uh-huh.
And here we go.
You couldn't hump me if my first name was Cootie Cat. Your little Jimmy can't even hold your zipper back. Why don't you tell the story right, man? The only skins you ever hit was the skins on your right hand. You rolled up on me in your man's Beamer, and I could look at you and tell you was a meat-beating daydreamer. You put the window down, trying to act real slick, and started smiling like a hooker with a bag of tricks. You stuck your hand out the window trying to show me gold. Your 42nd Street Rolex was kind of old. I wrote a number and I know you thought you'd get humped, but it was dollar day, 1-900 chump. So why you running around town playing Jeopardy? Get off my bra strap, boy, stop sweating me.
Somebody's getting on my nerves. Somebody's getting on my nerves. Somebody's getting on my nerves. Forget that you're a lady and give up what they deserve.
One of the great call and response choruses of all time, in my opinion. And there's also a little, like, there's a very sort of Cypress Hill feeling moment early in the earlier in the song before the clip where they do that, you know, jump up and get beat down line, and that
yeah.
Delivery is very Cypress Hill. And I sort of like paused the song and went off into this beautiful daydream where Cypress Hill's MC is replaced by Pep, because that, like, that's a sweet mix that they have. I love Cypress Hill, but that like that MC's timbre is not for everyone. And I was just like, can we just recut everything with Peppa doing the doing the flow.
I mean, Insane in the Brain with Peppa is a song I would listen to.
Yes. My God, yes, absolutely. So thank you for reuniting me with this song. Just the different ways they come up with to imply that he's just jerking off and a jerk off. So good.
Yeah. A meat-beaten daydreamer.
Get off my bra strap. Love it. Love it.
Yeah, I don't even really have anything else to add that's all that deep about this song, but it's just such a good diss track, and that beat is really hard, and Peppa is just not having it with you today, and I want it all the time.
Yeah, same. And it has the best of like their earlier stuff that is much more sort of like not aggressive, but like fed up. There's a right. fed up-osity to the 80s Salt-N-Pepa stuff that comes back in this track. And this also kind of continues to exemplify what we were talking about. Like, it's not a perfect, poreless product, but that's why it's great.
I think that there's even in the way that Give Them What They Deserve doesn't scan well.
Yeah.
It's somehow exactly right.
Yeah. Because there is a purity of like dismissal and just aggravation to that, that it's like, we're so annoyed that we're not going to go back and come up with a like different word flow that scans better.
I'm stat, too irritated
because we're
with
over
you.
It.
Right. I'm too irritated with you to make this sound nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know what? I think this conversation sounds nice, just like our mics. Mm-hmm. And I am so glad, Sarah, that we were able to have this deep dive into the work of Salt and or Peppa.
Yeah. And, of course, Spinderella. Yes.
Kick it up one time.
This was a delightful journey back into a different time, which is the fun of this, season. Next week, listeners, feel the force, the JVC force. And until then, we would love to hear from you about your favorite Salt-N-Pepa hits, things that we missed. We're at Talk Songs on Twitter, patreon.com/mastass for even more discussion and content.
Mark and Sarah Talk About Songs is hosted by Mark Blankenship, that's me, and Sarah D. Bunting.
That's me. I also edit the podcast, which is a proud member of the Bleav Network. Learn more at bleav.com.
To learn more about us, submit song requests, get a pop chart reading, or buy a Mastass book, visit our website at markandsarahtalkaboutsongs.com. You'll also find all of our social media links there, too.
That's Mark and Sarah, with an H, talkaboutsongs.com. And for even more content and access the Mastass Happy Hour, become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/mastass.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Bleav. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Bleav.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.